Hello everyone out there in podcast land. This is Flo from the Great War Channel podcast. Today I'm here with someone that you might know from our channel, specifically from our videos that we filmed in the Dolomites at the Lager Zoe. His name is Emmanuel and he will introduce himself to you right now. Hi Emmanuel.
Hi everyone. I'm Emmanuel Vogt. I'm a historian, as you know, from the video, and besides the AlpenCore, I also wrote my PhD thesis about the German air service in World War One. So
it's another. It's Dr. Emmanuel Vogt now.
Yeah.
So, well then, congratulations, first of all, and then I think we should talk about your thesis, don't you think?
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's backtrack a bit. What was the first, or how did you come to this topic? I mean, I know that you have interest in the AlpenCore, but you know the Luftstreitkräfte are somewhat of a different topic. I mean, it's even higher than the mountaintops, but apart from that, it's not really that similar, is it?
Yeah, after I finished my studies in 2010, I looked for a topic which wasn't researched that much and discovered the Luftstreitkräfte, as you mentioned, and especially in the German academic world, this topic is very unknown. There was a quite good PhD thesis, which came as a book last year, Niklas Knapp, Die deutschen Luftstreitkräfte in the First World War. But I choose a different topic from him. Besides, we didn't know each other since this year, so funny story. We both worked on the same topic, but didn't know each other since his book came out. So, my main focus was on literature, especially war poetry, war literature, because after World War One and even in the time of the war, there was hundreds of books published in Germany about the air warfare, aerial warfare, heroic fights between fighter pilots, also about the heroes of the German Luftwaffe, as you know, Manfred von Richthofen, Max Immelmann, Oswald Boelcke, all these well-known names. But no one ever did a research on this literature, especially. I was interested in how was the war mentioned in these books, how did the authors showed to the public what was aerial warfare, how did the men fight there, and how which images basically were publicated in these books. So that was my main focus, and it was quite interesting to discover the different types of images which were created in these books. And yeah, in a second step, I also searched for well-known former pilots or members of the German Luftstreitkräfte. And I broke it down to a group of 50 people, which more or less were all Pour le Mérite owners, which was a fault because I needed to re-find these persons in the literature, and mostly the well-known people were published in these books, and so I focused on them. And I could even find 25 estates from former pilots, which I could use also in my thesis.
Okay, so that's a lot to unpack. So first of all, the literature, these books and literary works, that was it a form of propaganda, or was it more that the public was viewing these pilots like stars, and they wanted to find out as much as they could about them, or was it a bit of both, or how did this
work? It was a bit of both, because it was no hidden propaganda, because these books were published during the wartime and after the wartime, and also interestingly after 1933, when the Nazis gained the power in Germany. Thank you. The books with aerial warfare, or which themed aerial warfare, increasingly gained new interest. So one can say during 1914 to 18, there were these, we say in Germany, or in German we say Fliegerliteratur, literally translated flyer literature, which can be remembrance literature, when former pilots wrote down what they have experienced in war, or also could be heroic books which themed specifically persons like Richthofen or Boelcke or others. But it could also be simply broke down to technical books, which only focused on the machines and weaponry or stuff like that. So, but I focused mainly on those books which, one, were written by former pilots or former members of the Luftstreitkräfte. Yeah, basically I focused on, or mainly focused on these books which were written by former members of the German Luftstreitkräfte, and which contained combat experiences, or were written by Kriegsberichterstattern.
These are war correspondents.
Yeah, yeah. Which showed the public what was aerial warfare, how did the men fight, what was war in the air like, and sometimes even when they create images like the men being stars, comparable to music or movie stars in our time today. And those books which contained technical stuff, like which focus on weaponry or the machines the men flew, were not in my interest, because I mainly focused on these topics I just mentioned.
So on the one end, there was this interest in what air combat was like, and the people wanted to find out more, since they were kind of stars. But on the other hand, it was probably heavily censored and used to shape a certain image of the German army, wasn't it?
Especially during the wartime between 1940 and 18, all books which wanted, or which the authors wanted to publish, needed to be censored by the Army High Command. They even had an own censor for that. The maybe most interesting or most known book is Manfred von Richthofen's The Red Fighter Pilot, the Rote Kampfflieger, which later, when a historian, Fernando Esposito, found out in the archives of the Ullstein Verlag in Berlin that the book even wasn't even written by Richthofen, because former major or former captain Erich von Salzmann had the allowance from Richthofen that he can do with the manuscript what he wants, in the sense of that only the book have to be written in favor of von Richthofen. So this is exactly what you mentioned, so that these books had to create a certain image, or a certain image is maybe the best expression to show the public which kind of war the high command wanted to give out to the people or would want to show to the people.
And how did that change after the war?
After the war, there were mostly those kind of literature that showed the remembrance side of the war, that former members remembered what they had experienced or what they had done in the war. And especially after the Treaty of Versailles, one can read a lot of anti-Versailles propaganda, which cut down the German Luftstreitkräfte to zero, as you know. And you find often books or shorter abstracts that wanted the Luftstreitkräfte or Luftwaffe back. And especially after 1933, those rise increasingly. So we have maybe four stages in these publications. There were a lot in the wartime, 1940 to 1918, and after that there were very few books which were or came out, and in the end of the Weimar Republic, maybe around 1928, it increases more and more, and after 1933 it increases as much as you can imagine, I think. And interestingly, after the Second World War began in 1939, the interest on World War I pilots and World War I Luftstreitkräfte went down, because the new Luftwaffe aces or new Luftwaffe heroes began to get into the focus of the Nazi propaganda. So
we have these different stages, which are all basically aligned to political goals, you could say. But nonetheless, you still investigated what you can actually learn about combat and combat experience in these books. So how can you can find out something about actual air combat at that time if you read these books?
More or less, yes, yeah. But it was broken down to reach a wider public, I would say. Because the public didn't want to read a specific abstract about aerial warfare, but they wanted to read thrilling experiences, heroic fights and stuff like that. So a bone dry abstract about aerial warfare wouldn't find so much readers like a thrilling abstract which was maybe even written by some star of the war, some war hero. So yeah, which was even the goal of these of the publishers. If you maybe come back to Richthofen's The Red Fighter Pilot, this book was published in 1970 in the Ullstein Verlag, Berlin, and came in a paperback, a small book, for only 1 mark. So it was very cheap. It reached a very high circulation. Thank you. And so you can say those books often, especially in the wartime, came in high circulations and were cheap to buy, so found a lot of readers, which might even explain why German, especially the fighter pilots, were so popular in the German society.
Okay, so... were you also able to learn something about the pilots themselves through what they wrote and everything? I mean, I think especially, let's say, von Richthofen again, there are like a few different popular characteristics about him. You know, some people say he was very determined and even egoistic or something. But so is there something like a personality in these books? And can you learn something about the actual pilots themselves, even though, you know, it might have been written with a different goal in mind?
Yes. But you have to keep in mind that those books were written for specific reasons. And that's also an interesting point, which I focused on in my PhD thesis. Because to get down these things I wanted to learn or research out of these books, I took 200 books for my work and read them all, of course. And after I read these 200 books, I created different characteristics or things you can find in a lot of these books or in these abstracts which I read. So after I read these 200 books, I created different characteristics which I could find in most of them. And especially for the fighter pilots, which were mostly associated with aerial warfare, one can find a lot of things that were described that these men had. Like, they were cold-blooded, they were daredevils, they were sportsmen, also they were mechanics, or a lot of these books claimed that these men were modesty in their way, and things like that. So one can see that these men, or that a certain image was created to show these men to the public, and that was quite interesting to find out in these books.
So you just mentioned before we started recording that Immelmann was presented as someone who didn't drink and didn't smoke and anything. So, but in his case, he actually didn't do that, right? He was
he was a true abstainer. He also didn't eat meat. And the good thing for Immelmann is that some of his letters to his mother are actually available for research today. So in this case, the image of Immelmann is true, but others were also created as, or books claimed that these men were abstainers, like one can often read that Oswald Boelcke didn't drink before he... or even didn't drink any time when he was at the front. Another book from, I think, 1938 or so, about Adolf Ritter von Tuczek, claimed that he only drank milk when he was at the front and never used the opportunity, like his comrades, to drink alcohol. So,
and he was Bavarian, so that's very unlikely that it is true. This is true.
That's a good point too. Yeah.
Okay. So, and I mean, we have these fighter pilots, which were certainly the most well known. Because these scoring lists, and that they are these. We had the Flying Circus and everything, but of course you had like other kind of pilots, right? I mean, maybe bomber pilots or people in two-seater aircrafts, the gunners and everything. So how did these people also wrote books or have books written about them?
Yeah, but one can find only few people who wrote their memories down. An interesting one is maybe a balloon observer Peter Rieper. He was the only one from the Feldluftschiffe Abteilung who gained the Pour le Mérite. And the interesting thing is he wrote some abstracts in the 1930s. I was able to find a relative of him who showed me his whole estate, even containing the original Pour le Mérite from 1918.
Wow, so, that's cool. Do you know the story, just as an interlude, do you know the story how he got, as a balloon observer, got a Pour le Mérite?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. He was wounded several times. And the last one, wound he received was a very heavy one, and the Pour le Mérite was an achievement of him for doing his duty, his service, and got wounded there. That's what I got told, but. Today he's pretty unknown because all these fighter pilots pretty much even today stand in the focus of research and the focus of the public. So guys like him.
Yeah, but balloons are just not that interesting to the people nowadays.
Sure. But interesting person, interesting story because one never. One seldomly hear about these guys doing their job in the balloons, observing the artillery and other stuff like that.
So maybe that's a good final question. So in what sense can you imagine how this kind of literature from these different time periods basically. Created an image of these pilots that still persists today?
Maybe not in Germany, but in especially in the US and the UK, the aerial warfare is very popular even today. In a certain way, maybe because Manfred von Richthofen still stands on the lead of these books which were published today, and but I don't know if everyone of these modern authors will repeat these things from the older books. So, but that wasn't my goal to find out. But I think what was important was to show that. These books, especially the ones from the 1930s and early 40s, showed a very positive image of the aerial warfare, which created scenes like men were fighting in a chivalric tournament with equal opponents on both sides. Which wasn't the case in the reality of war, because the aerial warfare was also as cruel as the warfare on the ground. But the difference between a fighter pilot and a normal infantry soldier was only that the fighter pilot had a record score, which one can count, like Richthofen with his 80 aerial war with his 80 victories. So it was more popular to show these men like a star of war than the normal infantry soldier from the ground. So the image which was, to summarize this maybe, the image which was created or which was circulated in these books were very positive. Which also showed that the Luftwaffe in the Third Reich often used these positive images to get new pilots, to get people serving in the Luftwaffe. So,
very interesting, Emanuel. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. for having me.
If people want to read your thesis, is it available anywhere? Is it in open access, or can people contact you through your website if they want to have a read at it? I think because I think we have quite a few people who are interested in aerial warfare and actually also speak German.
Okay, yeah, of course. The thesis will be published at the beginning of November this year as a book. So if you have a little bit patience, then you can read it. Or you go to your library and maybe search after the title. The title in German is Stars des Krieges. Biografische und erinnerungskulturelle Studien zu den deutschen Luftstreitkräften des Ersten Weltkrieges von 1914 bis 1945. So it is available in a printed version, but the book version will be coming at the beginning of November.
Cool. Very much looking forward to that. And of course, if people are interested in your work about the Alpenkorps and mountain warfare, they can also find that by just looking for your name on Amazon, which is what I did, for example. Or, of course, ask your local book dealer.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Emanuel, then thanks for your time and have a nice afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me and have a nice afternoon too. Bye. Mm-hmm.